Thank you. Hey, this is Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the October 25th, 2022 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board. Gene, this meeting is being recorded. Gene, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely. If you'll please stand and join me as we renew our pledge to the most visible sign of freedom in the world. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, colleagues. Please be seated.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. And Elizabeth, thank you for being here. I know you have a conflict today, so greatly appreciate your being here with us. Could you please take roll, Elizabeth?
Yes. Okay. Elizabeth Busick, present. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Gene Hernandez.
Present.
John Pointer is absent, and so is Dave Tetzloff. Carolyn Inman.
Present.
And Meredith Cellini.
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, now it's time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any items within the subject's jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak or members of the public present? Desiree?
I think she's having sound difficulty. She just sent me a message. So we did not receive any via email prior to the meeting starting, and we do not have any attendees attending this meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Jenna. Mm-hmm. So public comments is now closed, and we are on to action item AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to recommend that we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19?
So
meeting
moved.
In person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of the attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
Yeah, I'll move that, Elaine.
So it's been moved by Gene Hernandez, seconded by Elizabeth Busick. I'd like to clarify, to make sure you know that this motion is specifically for the executive board meetings. Okay, so now we need a roll call vote.
I'm pulling up the.
You're
good. Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Dean Hernandez?
Aye.
John Pointer? Dave Tetzloff? Meredith Chalemi?
Aye.
And Carolyn Inman.
Aye.
And that is majority chair.
Okay, thank you. So motion passes. I'd also like to acknowledge that we have a guest with us who is a chair of one of our standing committees, Barbara Sloat. So Barbara, thank you for joining us this morning. And we will move item number 6 to later on in the agenda. That's the Office on Aging update. We'll wait till Jeanette is able to join us. So we'll go on to item number 7. So we have some new business. We have two new applications to approve for SCAC membership. One of them is for Laval Brewer. Many of you may know him. He is the executive director of South County Outreach. He was a member of SCAC previously. He stepped off because there was a meeting conflict with work. But now that has changed. So now he'd like to come back on. And he was a valued member of SCAC because he was able to provide information with the nutrition and housing programs that are available for the needs that are required in South County. So he was an active and valued member. And I give him a lot of credit for stepping off when he knew that he would have a conflict with the meetings. But he'd like to come back. And then the other one is Jerry Chang. And Jerry has been a member of, I believe is it the Housing and Transportation Committee?
Yeah.
For many years. Yeah, so he's been a member for many years and he would like to come on to SCAC. And I think this fits a great need because we, over the last year or so, we had a number of Irvine members who retired from SCAC. So I think this will give us some more representation for where we do have a large senior population. So is there a motion to approve Laval, or do you have any questions or discussion? None? Okay, so is there a motion?
I move. Would they be accepted?
I'm gonna say to approve both Laval Brewer and Jerry Chang as members of the full SCAC. Yes. Moved by Elizabeth Busick, seconded by Jean Hernandez. Desiree, would you like to take a roll call vote?
Of course. Elizabeth Busick?
Aye.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez?
Aye.
John Poynter? Dave Tetzloff? Meredith Chalemi?
Aye.
And Carolyn Inman?
Aye.
That is majority chair.
Okay, thank you. So now that they are appointed to SCAC, we need to appoint them to their standing committees, and they have attended a standing committee meetings. Laval has requested the Wellbeing Reimagined Committee, and I noticed on the form that does that title does need to be updated. And then Jerry has requested two committees, both Wellbeing Reimagined and Housing and Transportation. So is there a motion to approve those standing committee appointments? Moved by Carolyn Inman.
Second.
Seconded by Meredith Chalemi. Any discussion? Seeing none, Desiree, roll call vote, please.
Elizabeth Busick.
Aye.
Elaine Genoway.
Aye.
Jean Hernandez.
Aye.
John Poynter. Dave Tetzloff. Meredith Chalemi.
Aye.
Carolyn Inman.
Aye.
That is majority chair.
Okay, thank you. So they are approved. Okay, so we have also at this time of year, we address the reappointments to SCAC. So there are, as you know, there are three types of membership on SCAC, either appointed by the executive board, the board of supervisors, or city selection committee. And we take care of the executive board appointments. We have four members whose term is expiring at the end of this year, and they would all like to be reappointed to SCAC. So that would extend their appointment. It's a two-year appointment that would extend it to December 2025. So the members are Carolyn Inman, Jim Levy, Dave Tetzlaff, and Dave Sullivan. So is there any discussion on the reappointment, or Elizabeth, do you have any anything that you'd like to mention regarding attendance or anything like that?
No, with those mentioned, everything's okay.
Okay. Any discussion on any of them? I believe my discussion to add would be they all participate very well in SCAC. And most of them have a very long history with SCAC. So I think that they bring a lot to the table. And, you know, sometimes it's said that, you know, we need new blood, but we do have a number of executive board seats available. So this would not be taking a seat from anyone else, but it would be keeping some contributing members on SCAC. So is there a motion to reappoint Carolyn Inman, Jim Levy, Dave Tetzlaff, and Dave Sullivan to SCAC as executive board appointees for a term expiring December of 2025.
Yeah, Jean Hernandez, I'll move that.
I'll second. Jean,
seconded by Elizabeth. Desiree?
Elizabeth Busick?
Aye.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez?
Aye.
John Poynter, Dave Tetzloff, Meredith Chalemi,
aye.
Carolyn Inman,
aye.
That is majority chair.
Thank you, Desiree. Aren't you glad that all these votes are just with the executive board and not the full SCAC?
Yes.
We'd still be on the first one taking that roll call vote. Okay. So moving on to the item for the November SCAC meeting, as a reminder, that's November 4th. Earlier in the year, we moved that up because of the Veterans Day holiday. And it will be in Laguna Niguel at the Crown Valley Community Center. And just a reminder, we had discussed this previously, and Erica and I and Meredith had quite a few discussions on this, realizing that when we go to a senior center, we are impacting their congregate meal programs. So we try to have the meetings when we meet in person, and this will be our first in-person meeting in over 2 years, to rotate it around the county to give other seniors the opportunity to attend. But we don't want our presence to be create a negative impact on the seniors in that community and those receiving the congregate meal programs. So, and the Crown Valley Community Center in Laguna Niguel has all the technology so that we can see. I know Meredith has been there a few times, so we have the screens up and monitors. And
I have questions about that when it's appropriate.
Okay. And then there have been some challenges that were presented last week regarding holding this meeting in person. Because you'll recall at our last SCAC meeting, we took a vote to preserve the Zoom option. And so those challenges have been resolved. And this meeting will be a hybrid meeting. So Desiree will be coming. And I don't know, Desiree, if there's anyone else from county staff coming with you.
Because it is my first in-person meeting, Jenna's going to be coming with me.
Oh, okay. Great. So, and then we will also have our city IT person there, Fabian Bravo, to make sure that everything is going smoothly. So they will get there about 8:30, I'm told. And then, but the doors will open at 9 for everyone else. So 9 to 9:30 is, you know, getting in the room and getting your coffee and morning refreshment. The meeting will start right at 9:30. And then after we adjourn the meeting is when we have our traditional holiday lunch, which is not a part of SCAC. I got to say that. But just because we're social beings, and I think this will be really special because people haven't been together in quite a while.
I haven't even met all of you in person. Some of you.
That's right. We have quite a few members that haven't met anybody. So you'll be shocked. You'll see if we look the same on Zoom or in person.
I have a suggestion. Could there be an e-blast out to all members of SCAC? This is the time to bring your SCAC monthly hours.
Yes.
Okay, you can save some.
We will. In fact, I'm saving mine for you, Elizabeth.
I thought you probably must.
And I'll have you guys know, I will fess up, Elizabeth does have to remind me too. And it for me, it has been a challenge because when I would go to me like, okay, I need to bring this. But the last 2 years, the months just fly by. So if any of you feel remiss in not submitting those to Elizabeth in such a timely manner, know that your chair is in that same position.
But those of us who are here are doing a very nice job.
Yeah. Once we fill them in. So, and I've asked Desiree to, because I know I've had some comments from actually a number of SCAC members, and it's a challenge for them to fill it in. And whether or not that form can be adapted, maybe there's an option just to put total number of hours, because some people find it a challenge to differentiate where their hours are going on what line. So when Desiree gets back to me with that information, I know she has to check, then we'll let our members know, or we'll work on that.
You know, Elaine, it seems like there's got to be an easier way to do that, because we all take roll. So Desiree's got everybody who's attended the various meetings. So why wouldn't just a print out monthly to Elizabeth to say, hey, look, here's who was at these meetings and here's how long the
meeting was. The thing is, the meetings are, we get 2.5 hours credit for the meetings, but the county Board of Supervisors is requiring 8 hours of volunteer service. So if you do your meeting and your standing committee meeting, that's 5 hours. So they want you to pick up more hours either at the senior center or communicating.
So we'd have to add to it. I get it. Okay. Yeah. Which we do.
So, but some of them just want to put total a number of hours, and, you know, we don't want this to be burdensome, but the county also does want some accountability to make sure that we are connected with the senior centers and the senior communities and not just taking a seat on SCAC. Meredith, your hand is up.
Oh, yes. Thank you. So I had a speaker, Jack Light, who's coming to Laguna Niguel on November the 4th, ask if he should bring his own laptop, if a laptop will be provided, if he mails in his PowerPoint ahead of time, and I would like to be able to get back to him.
Let me check with Fabian on that. Usually when we do, I know one of the easiest ways is for someone to bring a flash drive.
Yeah.
But let me confirm that with Fabian. Do you know Fabian, Meredith?
No.
Oh, okay. Just because you're in our city and
yeah. I will soon.
He's at a lot of our events because okay. He's actually our communications person. On that day, actually, we have a number of our key staff people are away at a conference. So we're going to have other people filling in. But I will get that in. Or you know what? Why don't I connect you two via email?
Okay, great.
And then you guys can work out the details.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think that Jack is getting a little nervous about his. I think it's probably a first time for a lot of our speakers to be back in person too.
Yeah, well, and he will love when once he sees the setup, he will really like that there's screens all around the room. I know Patty Mouton has been in that room a number of times, so she's aware of that. But let me just write a note to email you and Fabian. Okay. So trying to think where was I? Desiree, and I don't know what the status is, and I'm assuming because we haven't been meeting in person that this hasn't been kept up. But when we had the in-person meetings, and I'm sure Jenna can jump in here, we had nameplates for all the SCAC members. Are those current?
No, we will have to do temporary tent cards for all SCAC members. Desiree and I did discuss, and we will make sure we have those. But because we've been virtual for so long, and what we found with our other BCCs is sometimes right when the pandemic kind of started, we were ordering the nameplates, and then they were gone before we even had a in-person meeting. So we tossed them. So we did not order any we have not ordered any for any new members. So a temporary fix is we will provide the temporary tent cards. And then if we are going to maintain in-person, we will start ordering those.
Okay, great. Yeah. So if you have the tent cards, and then I wouldn't order any until after January, because some of these, terms are expiring and we don't know if the ones from city selection and board of supervisors, if they'll be continuing.
Good to know. So, thank you.
And reminder, we don't meet in December. We're dark in December. So, and then also SCAC members had name tags too. So maybe in January, reorder the name tags as well. So, okay. So getting back to after we adjourn the meeting, then we will stay there at Crown Valley Center and have a catered lunch. And that is hosted by the City of Laguna Niguel.
Thank you.
So, but that's why I need everyone to tell me by tomorrow, because we have to give the caterer account. And I only have RSVPs from about 10 people.
I'll be there.
Okay. I'll be there.
I will put
you know, Elaine, it looks like I will not be able to be there. I'll be on the Zoom, but I'm hosting a speaker at our First Friday Friars meeting, and I can't get out of that. So.
Oh, darn.
I know. Trust me. Talk about overbooked.
See, I was thinking maybe with your beard, you'd want to play Santa at the lunch.
Yeah, well, think again on that one, please.
It's very white.
Okay. Anyone else want to give me their RSVP?
I'll be there.
Barbara and Elizabeth. Okay. Thank you.
Do our new members know about RSVPing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then let's see, Inman. And Jenna, you will be there. Okay.
I'll be at SCAC. Did you say me? I'm sorry. Did you say Jenna?
Yeah, Jenna.
I won't be staying. I have other meetings on Friday.
Oh, you won't? Okay. Welcome to stay for lunch.
Thank you. No, I have a packed Friday.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty.
Did Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes, she did.
Okay, because we're going together.
Okay, great. and it's not a quorum in your car, so that's okay. With city councils, we have to be careful of that if we all want to ride somewhere to get, only two, can't have three in the car. Yeah,
well, and I have
talk city business.
Yeah, but you know, it's the optics also, so.
Oh, you're way overcautious.
This
day and age, though, in your community, I agree, you need to do it.
Okay, so any questions about the November 4th meeting? So there are some pieces of the meeting that we do in person that we don't do via Zoom. And one is to recognize volunteers, senior volunteers in that city. So I've talked to Jeff Kirby, who's the director of our senior center, to see if he had any that he would recommend. Jenna or Desiree, do you still have those certificates that we print up? So I'll give you the names once I have them. And then if you could bring the certificates. And then the other difference is to bring the hours forms. So we remind people when we send out the agenda. And then we used to also sign our stipend forms at the meeting. So, but I know we're doing it a little differently because we're doing half a year at a time.
Desiree's on top of it.
Okay, so you'll bring those two?
Desiree already has.
Then you don't have to. Yeah, I think it's easier for you if you do it that way. Okay, so no questions about November 4th? Okay, good. And that's also when we elect the 2023 Executive Board. Now remember, with the recent change in bylaws from the Board of Supervisors, we do not have a nominating committee and nominations are taken from the floor. But we have been talking to some people to see if they're interested, to let them know what positions are available, because I know there will be a couple of openings on the executive board. And 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago already, Jean, when I asked?
Yeah, it was 2 years.
2 years ago when, Jean and I spoke about him stepping up to vice chair, and that was with the understanding that he would then want to become chair, because there's a training ground. There's you need to, to be able to chair this committee. So he will throw his name in the ring for nomination for chair. And then we have some other positions. And I don't know where that stands now. I know Jean was going to speak to a few people. I know Meredith would like to stay on the board. Carolyn has indicated an interest to become secretary.
And Barbara also will graciously do that with assistance. And I'll make sure that we get her. She's concerned about getting programs like we all do. That's tough for people. And I'll make sure that we have, each committee should have somebody that's adept at getting program folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty easy for me. And I know Meredith does a great job, but Barbara doesn't have those contacts in this field. So we need to work with her on that.
Well, and also Barbara knows she has contacts from the Wellbeing Reimagined Committee, and then can reach out to the other standing committee chairs, as well as the Office on Aging, because they have a lot of contacts.
And 2-1-1 is a secret method, too.
Yeah, it is. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And Sandy Stang is also willing to bump up to the to our exec board.
Well, and so is Evelyn.
So that should give us three.
Well, make sure you don't have too many now.
Well, that should give us three. If we have Barbara, Sandy, and Evelyn. I couldn't get a hold of Amelia Castro. Her mailbox was full.
Jean, there's seven spots on the board. Elizabeth, after many years of service, is retiring from the board. When you're chair, I become the past chair. So that's two. And then we have Meredith, Carolyn. And then we have three more slots.
And that's the three I'm talking about. The Barbara, the Sandy, and
Evelyn.
Evelyn, yes.
Okay. All right. So if there's anyone else who is interested, we will still, talk to them and give them all the information they want, because again, these are nominations that come from the floor. It's not a slate that's presented. and I want to make that opportunity available to everyone. I know, though, we've been talking about this for the last couple of months, and ask that people contact myself or other board members, and I don't know of anyone who's reached out to us.
Well, I will tell you, as I make the calls, the first thing you're going to hear is, I am so overextended and so booked from everybody. And it's like, yep, yep, okay, get that out of the way. We realize that. That's why we want you.
No. Okay.
But it's true. And as long as we work as a team and help each other out, we should be able to manage this.
Mm-hmm. So I think that I'm still getting caught up, though. So, can you tell me who's proposed to do what?
Oh, well, there's the what do we call that? Not at will. What's the
at large?
At large. So we have three at large board members.
At large, I'm looking at Barbara and Sandy and Evelyn. It's kind of an easy way into our group. Then Meredith, you'll be, hopefully you're going to be the vice chair. And Carol is the secretary. And we're going to miss you, Elizabeth, but I certainly understand why you feel it's time to pass the baton.
I want to make it clear. It's not that I'm sick and tired at all. I was sick and tired of having the same people for a decade be on the executive board. I thought that is wrong. And so that's why I think, no, you put in 4 years. That should be quite sufficient.
Except, Elizabeth, I got to tell you, it's like pulling teeth, though. So it's not like you're taking someone's position because no one's clamoring to do this.
Oh, I think Carolyn would. Carolyn.
Well, Carolyn's a clamorer. We'll take Carolyn. Yes. Uh-huh. But she's a rare one. She is rare. Uh-huh.
No one can take Elizabeth's place.
No, absolutely not. So that would be it, Meredith. Does that make it clear who we've got?
Yeah, I guess that I would, you know, if I understand correctly, Barbara is going to be coordinating the presentations. Is that right?
No. Well, I don't think so. Barbara's doing the, she's going to stay on as her committee chair. That was another
question. No, she can't.
Oh, that's right. You can't, Barbara. So you'd have to give that up, which that'll free you up there. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And you know, what's her name? Karen Owen? Who's
Rachel.
New?
Rachel Owen.
She is really sharp and has some really good ideas.
So somebody that would step in to chair that committee.
Possibly.
And yeah. It's and Jean, you're the one who appoints the standing committee chairs.
Okay.
Because I was going to say that for next year, I'm happy to give my suggestions for the presentations, but I would love it if someone else could then do the admin work of that.
Yeah, because the way, and depending
follow
on
follow up
or not,
making the contact, yes.
And whether or not Jean wants to structure it the same, but how we've done it the last couple of years is the vice chair is the standing committee coordinator and oversees them. So, you know,
but then you have to go to, I don't know if I have time
of
to go
the
to
breadth
this.
Of topics for when they become chair. And then the three at-large members each took on a different role. So Meredith, you took on the presentation schedule. Right. Another member, at large member, took on the senior center liaison position. And then the third one, and that this it happened to be Dave Tetzlaff, was more the ad hoc, you know, where we needed someone. So quite a few of the times he coordinated our digital divide committee. So
let me think about, it doesn't necessarily have to be Barbara doing the coordinating of the speakers.
Right.
I would probably actually go with Sandy or Evelyn. So we'll hash that out.
Okay. And I need to know when those other committees are. So I need to look that up.
Desiree will send you when they meet.
And I'll see if I
actually,
have any.
The new year, they could be meeting at different times. So we'll have to figure that out when they're going to
I'll meet. Let you know if I have conflicts.
Okay, please. And all you have to do, Meredith, is periodically check in on them. It's not like you need to go to every single one of those.
Mm-hmm. And also, we made a change this year with the presentations because previously the person who coordinated the presentations also got the person to do the inspiration, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the greeters.
Yeah.
but now that's been moved over to the secretary, who will coordinate that piece of it.
Clamoring for more duties.
Well, and that's that comes into play because now we'll be meeting in person. So before that, it was
not a big deal at all. That's
no, it's not
very easy.
But you got to give people a heads up to know they're doing it when they.
It's just a lot of email follow up, in my opinion.
Yes.
No, and it's also reminders. A number of times when we've met in person, we've had they completely forget they're giving the inspiration.
They don't even look at the agenda. Mm-hmm.
So Carolyn, what you do is have a Mother Teresa poem in your pocket.
Okay. What I would suggest for that, though, when we're meeting in person, is for those positions, the greeter, the inspiration, and the pledge, have people who live near that city be the ones doing that, so that if someone gets stuck in traffic, right, they're not late.
Well, and the greeters like to greet for the senior center that they're a part of. I think they feel good about the meeting and take pride in their center and mm-hmm. all that. So they're the natural greeters.
Except they're not going to be at the senior
center. It's
funny
you say that, because I think one of the things we need to be looking at, and we talked about, and there's pros and cons of maybe not rotating to each of those senior centers, but meeting in one central place like at the county. But the issue there is that they have a location large enough for us. But we could find a place if we had to. I know the Red Cross, and you mentioned a couple other ones, Elaine. Just a thought, I throw that out as a seed to plant. And the reason being that when we go to these senior centers, a lot of times we're taking away where their seniors have their lunches and stuff, and it impacts them. So just a thought. And
we can go to Easter Seals.
What's that?
Easter Seals is another option.
Easter Seals is another option.
And Alzheimer's OC.
Yeah.
But that's why in Laguna Niguel, we're not meeting at the senior center. We're meeting at the community center, but our senior committee is invited to the meeting. So our seniors, you know, so when you're in the cities, you can still invite the senior. Yeah. You're just not impacting the congregate meal program.
Well, if there's one place that's also less apt to have people who are late because they got lost, and, you know, I mean, there's a convenience factor being in one place.
Yeah.
Even though I think it's fun to host. But
well, you're unique. Well,
and I also think we should be visible around the county too.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of hosting.
So, Jean, is there anything else? Oh, I'm sorry, Elizabeth. What?
Mission Viejo would like to host the May meeting, May meeting. Meredith.
Why is May the big deal for Mission Viejo?
Because that's in the past, that's what it's always been. And
that's Older Americans Month.
Anna Boyce was the one who initially got that. And so Mark Nix, who's in charge of the whole thing, came to a meeting and said he would very much like for us to host and preferably the May meeting, if that's possible.
Well, having done this before, I will tell you, it's always a challenge getting these senior centers availability for the date we want for that month. That is always tough. So just be aware of that. We can have more discussion on this later.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So anything else, Jean, that you'd like to add on regarding the upcoming election of the board?
No, just a reminder that, yes, that has to come from the floor. So we'll make sure that we're bringing that up. And that's on Zoom. It's a hybrid meeting, right?
The hybrid meeting. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. No, that's it for me. Thank you.
Okay. So one of the last items I have is the November executive board meeting date. That is calendared for November 22nd. That is Thanksgiving week. So do we want to keep it or do we want to change the date?
Depends whether you want people there or not.
Well, it's just our group here. It's the executive board. So Is it more of a problem if we change the meeting date, or do you feel that no matter where you are, if you're traveling with family, that you can get on a Zoom meeting and keep the same date?
I'm working that day, so it's okay for me to stay.
Mm-hmm.
What date was that you threw out?
The 22nd
of next year
November.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. My challenge is if we move it the week earlier, I have a huge city council meeting that day, which I know I'm going to need to prep for all day.
I'm fine with 22nd.
22nd's
good for me.
Yeah, 22nd's okay with me too. I got OCTA. Could we move it to like 9 o'clock instead of 9:30?
Do you normally have, because this is our regular meeting date. Do you usually have OCTA right after this?
On Wednesday. It's not a normal day because this is, you said the 22nd, right?
Yeah, did I put the wrong day on the agenda?
November 22nd is a Wednesday.
No, it's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Probably on the wrong year.
23rd, yeah. Right? The 23rd?
22nd is a Tuesday.
November 2023?
No.
Oh.
22. Oh. Next month.
Oh, never mind. Hang on. Let me scroll back.
Please don't make time go by that fast, Gene.
Yeah, you're not a kid. Okay, what date in November do we want? The
Tuesday, November 22nd.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay, so we will keep our November executive board meeting the same date as is scheduled, November 22nd.
Yes.
So nobody's going to email me and say they can't be there because of Thanksgiving. Okay.
Got it. No.
Okay, it'll be a different reason.
Okay.
I prep, but not that far in advance.
Okay. Old business. I don't have anything unless anyone else has anything that we need to be discussing. And chair comments, I think I've said enough. So I see Jeanette has joined us. So let's move on. Jeanette, are you ready for the Office on Aging updates or do you want to catch your breath?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Okay. All right. I apologize for
no problem. I know you're wearing many hats today.
Yeah. But there's not really much in, you know, by way of updates. Actually, no, there is. Sorry. We just got the grant for the ATT awarded about, I believe, a week ago. So we are working with the social services agency so we can go on ahead and finalize those funds and then transfer them over to our agency so we can then launch the ATT program. So more to come on that.
That's the Wi-Fi or broadband subscriptions. Yeah.
Yes. So we plan on extending some of the data plans for the 2200 iPads, along with adding more iPads to, more people who are in need of it. So there's going to be more to come on that in the next month or so. We also are in closeout season right now, so we have a lot of closeouts due to the state. That's why, as you can imagine, we're trying to run around and reconcile our books. The other big item that I wanted to share with everyone is we actually are going to be welcoming a new member of our a new administrative manager to our team. We are anticipating that a start date of November 4th. So shortly after our in-person meeting, I'm probably going to dash off and start the orientation so he can hit the ground running. We're still pending the other positions, but we're obviously not really looking for that. We also, I think the final update that I want to provide is we also received the nutrition infrastructure grant. I believe a few weeks ago as well. And this is to help improve our elderly nutrition program equipment. You know, our providers are planning on using it to purchase refrigerated trucks, refrigerated bags or temperature control bags, tables, chairs, you know, to kind of really help refresh what they're offering or the equipment that they have to offer these services. And lastly, we just got our MIPA or Medicare Improvements for Patients and Providers Act, it's a mouthful, work plan approved by the state. So that works in conjunction, this program works in conjunction with the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program, or HICAP, which provides unbiased health counsel or insurance counseling for people who are either on Medicare or are getting ready to enter into Medicare. So that's pretty much all I have for the Office on Aging. Does anyone have any questions so far?
Jeanette, on the grant for the nutrition infrastructure, so are those funds then going to Age Well and Meals on Wheels?
They are going to Age Well and Meals on Wheels. And I believe we're also going to try to open up a small funding pocket for some of our local food providers who might, we might have to do a small application for that. And I almost forgot, you actually brought that to mind, Elaine. We just released the nutrition, the OCNP, Older Californians Nutrition and Intergenerational Activities, RFP, out to you know, to all of our partners, anyone who wants to apply. These are essentially encouraging the use of our, you know, nutrition program or any kind of nutrition program for the elderly to help bridge or better the understanding between generations. So it's going to be open not just for 60 and above, but also for 17 and below and 18 above, or 18 to 59. So our goal is to, you know, so some of the activities that we're hopefully looking for under this program are cooking classes, cooking demonstrations, or maybe even having a home cooked meal that the homebound senior is making with their loved ones, community gardens. So those are some of the items that we're kind of looking for. We kind of left it open to our applicants to see if they might, you know, they might have any creative ways to or creative intergenerational activities. So if you know anyone who wants to apply, it's currently open in BidSync right now, and I encourage everyone to check it out.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Jeanette? Well, we're glad to hear that those grants are coming through. So thank you to the Office on Aging for all the work that you guys are doing to apply for them.
Thank you.
Okay. On to standing committee update. Jean, and then I don't know if you saw that email response that I sent to Meredith and CC'd you on it.
Refresh me. Which one was that?
Well, I'll let her tell about it.
All right, Meredith, take it away.
Yes, good morning again, everyone. So I am part of an Older Adults Coalition work group through Leading Age California. And one of the things that the group is discussing is to have IHSS, which is the program for Medi-Cal beneficiaries that need in-home help and caregiving, to have an agency model. So California is one of the only states in the United States that has all basically independent contractors. So if you're an older adult and you get these hours, then you have to basically use a registry or have a family member to provide this service, and you become the supervisor. And it's kind of iffy for a lot of folks if this is a good match and there's no training component and no oversight. So what the work group that I'm a part of is suggesting is that for people that have dementia or that have behavioral health issues or that have just become homeless, that an agency would actually supervise these hours so that there's more structure, so that there's supervision, and so that the caregivers have training. And this is something that actually is county decided. And so I thought it might be a perfect thing for SCAC to consider for Orange County.
The county would have to approve this and support it, right?
Yes.
Well, so, and we also want to make sure that it doesn't either overlap or conflict with anything that the Office on Aging is already doing. So maybe Jeanette can, are you familiar with this, Jeanette, or can weigh in on that?
Not as familiar with it, but Meredith, if you want to connect offline, and we can, you know, we can discuss some of the details of
absolutely.
This, and we'll, you know, we'll figure out how we can move forward or how we can assist in helping this process along.
What kind of cost are we talking about, Meredith?
It's basically going to be about the same cost as the other program. It's just a different way of delivering these services through an agency.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Let me know when you and Jeanette hammer this out, and it sounds very promising.
Yeah, like I know as a former social worker in affordable housing, a lot of the residents that received in-home supportive services weren't getting their full hours, and it wasn't good quality, and they just didn't have the wherewithal to be a supervisor.
I agree.
Yeah, so then this may be something then after Meredith and Jeanette talk about it and see how it fit would come through the housing standing committee to kind of give it a
I think it might be caregiving that works.
Oh, okay.
What a novel concept. Yes, good.
Thank you. I'll email you, Jeanette. We'll have another fun time together on Zoom.
And the other committees are meeting and they're doing their thing and preparing and having good dialogue. Barbara sells herself short. She's had excellent programs. I'm telling you, they've been very, very interesting and good. And Evelyn is doing a good job. So that's it. I don't think, Barbara, anything you want to chime in on?
Well, just that November is going to be a working meeting and I'm sending out an email this week to all of my committee members to ask them for their ideas for what they would like for us to do for February. That's when we have the workshop.
Workshop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, and put in there that if they have any ideas that what we ran into last year was that the ideas that we had were great. However, it was, this is being handled by the feds. This is being handled by the state. Or we're getting money from the feds, the state. And so I'm going to say something that the Board of Supervisors can pass or agree to, because everybody on my committee, everyone's busy. And I just felt that we did an awful lot of work that was not useful for what we had to do. We didn't have enough information in terms of where the money would be coming from. So
Barbara, each standing committee has an Office on Aging staff person assigned to it. So I don't know who it is for Wellbeing Reimagined.
I think it's Frank, isn't it Frank? No.
Marco.
Who?
Marco.
Marco.
Oh, Marco.
So those kind of questions make use of that staff person. That's why they're there. So ask them those questions so your committee doesn't,
spin its
wheels. That they're looking at things that are within the purview of the county so that they're not spending their time on something that we don't have an impact. So they're there for you to utilize. So please make sure all of you that are on standing, well, you're all on standing committees, but make sure you're making use of that staff person there. Not that they're just sitting there listening to the meetings, but they're there, to bring information back to you or to work with you on, what are the possibilities.
Okay. Yeah.
Carolyn, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah. Noticed in the large SCAC meetings on Friday that the standing committees make their report at the end, and often one or two of the three has already left the meeting. So I don't know that an agenda change would be a good idea as to when they do those reports, or maybe they should be reminded that they're supposed to do that report or have somebody else do it for them in line to do it. But as a member, I like to know what the committees are doing too. So
that's a good idea. And usually it's in the middle, Elaine, isn't it?
I think it's at the end. And people shouldn't be leaving the meeting anyway.
Right.
So. Well, that brings put a out question. A reminder. So when we were meeting in person, the standing committee reports were provided in a hard copy to the committee members.
Right.
So how do we want to handle that?
Remind them they need to be there as long as we're Zooming. If we're not going to Zoom.
So our November meeting, we're hybrid. So we will have most of the members will be in person. So do we still want to have hard copies? No. So
I think that it's hard on the chairs. I mean, they have to work to do that. So if we can make their life easier, that might be better for a verbal if they just jot down some notes.
But I would like to add something. When I hear someone give a report, I cannot get it all in and keep it. If I like to have a hard copy so that I can read it, then it sticks in my mind. Otherwise, it's just, and it's out. I think a hard copy, it's not a big deal to write one up.
Yes, it is. If you are involved in a lot of things, it is time consuming.
I did it for years. I really see the validity in a hard copy.
Okay, Jenna?
Elaine, if I may, out of experience, it has been a struggle to get those overviews from the committee chairs. At times we are waiting, you know, the morning before, the evening before the meeting, we're getting them and then having to print them all out. And attending meetings myself, 9 out of 10 times, we take the majority of the staff back with us. So it is wasteful. We could maybe do 5 copies or, you know, rather than having enough for everyone, because that's what we did in the past. And we typically would make sure we have enough copies for everyone and plus members of the public. But I would always be bringing that staff back to the office.
What if we do an oral report, and then if there's enough in the oral report for that chair to have, you know, even just put bullet points on a piece of paper, then after the meeting we just email that out so people have that, so we're not, you know, printing and everything like that. Would that make it easier?
Mm-hmm. I just want to, who would be responsible to take those bullet points down and email it out?
Well, it would be either the committee chair, or many of the committee, or when I've been on the committee, they've designated someone else on the committee to take the notes.
Okay.
And that person, whoever, and then, you know, sends that. I mean, I know we've gotten away from it. There's some things we've gotten away from meeting via Zoom. And, that's one of those things, the monthly reports from the standing committees. But, and maybe this is a good time to like talk about how are we going to refresh that maybe for the coming year. And, but it doesn't have to be the chair of the standing committee, but it should be somebody on the standing committee, and then submitting that, and then the timing on it, either it goes out with the agenda or it goes out after the meeting. So we're not.
Why don't we take a poll, Elizabeth, at our meeting in November? I suspect Elizabeth is unique in that regard. She's going to read everything. I suspect most of those people are not going to read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also, you know, we also though need to be aware of what the other standing committees are doing. So because there may be some areas of overlap where we don't want two committees.
But a verbal will do the same thing. A verbal will get that.
Okay. Jenna, is there any requirement that you know of that we have a written standing committee report?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we'll bring this up at the November 4th meeting and see what the interest is. Okay. Anything else on standing committees?
No, thank you.
Okay. Oh, one thing I have, in person versus Zoom. So I know when we've talked before in our discussions with the standing committees preferred to meet via Zoom as long as possible. So.
I agree.
Yeah. And I don't know. And I still haven't had the answer, the question answered. Does that only go through February, or can they still keep meeting after February? So only through February.
Yeah, currently the AB 361 is in place through February. There is some new legislation that is being announced or maybe has passed, I'm not sure. Our county council is looking into that to see what it looks like. What I've heard is there's many loopholes that would make it very difficult to maintain. One, what I understand is it's not fully virtual. It would be more of a hybrid, but there are many requirements that we have to follow in order to make it hybrid, but we will wait for council to provide us all the departments and the BCCs across the county guidance on how to handle that going forward, and then we can assess it from there.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jenna. And just for our newer members, when we do meet in person, it's at the Office on Aging in Santa Ana. But it's the easy part of Santa Ana. It's, and Jenna's telling me that's been changed.
Yeah. So our building is currently under construction. I'm not sure when we typically meet in person or at our building, but we do have very limited conference space. That is across the county right now, is conference space is extremely limited. So I don't know our new floor plan, what it looks like. I've been told we have a conference room, but I'm not sure of the size. So I don't know if we can accommodate SCAC.
Okay. What about the standing committees though?
Standing committee should be fine.
Okay.
When will we know that, Jenna?
So they were slated to be near the end of construction in early next year. I'm sure there are plans that I can look at, but in terms of, you know, blueprints, I'm not really familiar. I can ask to see if I can get a kind of like a schematic about how many people will fit in the conference rooms. The other issue is our second floor had 3 conference rooms in the past, and now we're down to 1. So as you can imagine, it's going to be booked quite often. So depending on the size, I have to find out, and then scheduling will be challenge going forward.
Okay. All right. Well, keep us up to date so we know
how we're
going to pivot. So thank you. Okay. So that's it for item number 8. So we're on to item 9, presentation schedule. Meredith.
Not a lot new going on with the presentation schedule. So we have a caregiving presentation with Jack Light, the executive director of the Caregiver Resource Center, as well as Patty Mouton from Alzheimer's OC for our November meeting. December, we're dark. January and February, we have, I guess I need to work with someone from the Office on Aging on January. We usually have an overview of the rules and all that good stuff that we need to book. And then February, we have our workshop. March is Senior Nutrition Month, so I think that we should invite Age Well, Meals on Wheels, and perhaps Laval, now that he's back, to talk about senior nutrition. And then in April, it's Parkinson's Month, and I've invited Carrie Keen, who's one of our members and has an exceptional Alzheimer's exercise program, to give a presentation that day. And that's as far as I've gotten.
Okay. And just for clarification, Carrie is Parkinson's. Pep for you. Okay. All right. Thank you. And just keep in mind, we're going to need some meeting locations in the coming year that can accommodate all of us. And I think we've tossed out a few names already. And Jenna will keep us up to date on the in-person versus Zoom.
How many people do you need to have room for at the various, you know, centers?
For the full SCAC,
yeah,
we say 40, even though our membership is less, but our board size is 40. We do have some empty seats. And then seating for the public too. So depending on the senior center, sometimes we may have as many as a dozen members of the public attend as well. Especially in the beginning, if we're giving an award, and then they'll have their friends or family join them.
Okay.
And they need to have audio visual capability with a screen, PowerPoint, microphones, all that. And then and also an area for coffee, any refreshments.
Okay.
Hey, Carolyn, Senior Center Liaisons.
I've only received a few of the pictures, but they are interesting and fun to look at. So I thought I would make another request and see if people would do it. And then I'll put it together in some form and perhaps send it back out to everybody or something like that. So okay. The idea of the picture again was that they would be at their senior center talking to someone on staff so that we get the we're communicating kind of idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also along those lines, Desiree, I have not yet received the invitation flyer for the November 4th meeting. So when I get that, then we can send that out. And then Carolyn, I don't know if you want to then, you know, usually I send it out and telling people to be sure to share it with their city and their senior centers. I don't know if you want to add a note to that or.
Oh, okay. Well, could the note would just be, you know, please, if you haven't done so already, please send a picture next time you visit your senior center. Just a little encouraging thing.
Okay. I can add that to the email then. All right.
Yeah. And tell them to send it to me and then I'll put it together digitally.
Okay, very good. Number 11, Elizabeth. Anything we need to talk about regarding members in good standing? You're muted.
There are two people who, in spite of my reminding, have not sent in any hours at all. And then there's a third one who sent in the first month, but she didn't indicate what it was for. She just put eight hours, and she didn't put anything. So anyway, those, I'm concerned about the two, Patty and Polo, who have not turned in any hours at all.
Okay. Well, and Patty's all over the county. I think she just hasn't landed to be able to fill out the form.
As far as attendance, there,
excuse me.
See, bless you. Carol Moore has three absences. Patty Mouton has four absences.
Yeah, and last month we approved a waiver on Patty's attendance because that she was actually doing presentations at senior centers.
And Jim Levy has three absences. Anyway, those.
Okay. Well, and I think it'll help a lot. We'll see what information Desiree comes back with, whether or not we're able to just put the total number of hours on the form, whether or not it needs to be split out. Because I know I've been getting calls and emails from some members that's just too much of a challenge.
Could it be a Google form where we just fill it in and click submit?
Well, you can fill it in on your computer, but then you need to mail it to Elizabeth. So that's.
So there still has to be like an old fashioned paper form.
And the thing is, for these people, it's not so much submitting the form, it's filling it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I spent all my time on seniors. I don't know how many hours I did it in these different categories.
Right, exactly.
So I am awaiting that information and then we will. Take it from there. Hopefully we can just, because this should not be the stumbling block for members, because I've had some people tell me if I've got to fill out this form this way, I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
So
I have a question. I think that I would hate to see just eight on a piece of paper. I hate to be cautious or non-trusting, but you know, that's awfully easy to do. And I think that the form as is or revised helps you. Oh yeah, I could do that. You know, it gives you ideas maybe for the next month or sometime. Is it possible to have a simpler form?
Well, that's what I'm waiting for information on. How can we revise that?
Yeah, my suggestion is that it be in between no details and too many details.
Yeah, or give them the option.
That's true.
Okay.
That could work.
Okay. Any more comments on that?
I just want to say, people who are on city council, they seem to think that, hey, I can't be bothered with this. I'm working all the time to help people. Don't ask me to be specific as to what I actually did. That's what I'm being told. by some people on city council.
Well, as a city council member, I personally have never told you that, but I will tell you it does take time. Like, because a lot of what we do overlaps, and it's interwoven in what we're doing every day. So it is to sit down and feel that, like, okay, I went to this meeting. How many of these hours were spent on seniors? Mm-hmm. But I think it's also, you know, I think there needs to be a little grace with city council members, because we are on so many committees and so many boards, and to really start slicing and dicing how we spend our time can be a challenge. And I would not want to lose any council members because we're asking them to fill out this
form. I don't think that new volunteers in the going into the future are going to like this. It seems arcane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, or maybe there's just an attestation, you know, every month. Yes, I did at least 8 hours, because it's in our bylaws. That's what the Board of Supervisors requires. Okay. Anything else on this topic?
Well, you know, just one last comment on that. And I agree with Meredith. Maybe all we need to do is monthly, we assume you've all done 8 hours. If you've done more, let us know. If you've done less, let us know. But otherwise, you'll get credit for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because that's what you agree to when you.
I agree. And I think people do more than 8 hours. Trust me.
Yeah.
If we do.
Okay. Anything else on this? Okay.
This one.
Carolyn.
I would actually, the secretary does the hours, right? I would actually prefer email than snail mail. If, you know.
Right, that's why I'm saying we could do a Google form. Yeah.
Well, and that.
And I would prefer to do that, Carolyn. You're spot on.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. I know this year, though, for our current secretary,
I agree.
It was easier for her to tally it with a hard copy.
Exactly.
So next year, when the secretary changes, the way the form is submitted may change as well.
That's the only reason I buy stamps.
Oh, they have some hot rod ones now. I got those for my husband. When he pays the bills, he can use the hot rod stamps and get some joy out of paying bills. So,
well, let's be honest. We do that to cater to Elizabeth, and I understand that's how she wants it. I got it.
Yeah.
But when we transition, we're not doing that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Well, Jean, if you're elected chair and if Carol's elected secretary, you two can discuss it and let us know. Okay, are we done with this topic?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Move on to announcements. Anybody have an announcement? Carolyn.
I have an announcement. I want to apologize for missing the last meeting and the next one, but I want you all to think of me, and not really me. I'm taking my 10-year-old granddaughter to New York City to see Hamilton.
How fun.
So that's the only time we could get all the
family. Enjoy. Yes.
Yeah, be safe.
I think we've got that all kind of planned too. It'll be 3 generations, me, my daughter, and the granddaughter.
Oh, that's cool. Stay away from the subways.
No subways. Lots of taxis, maybe. Anyway, she loves it. She's seen it before, but this is going to be on Broadway, so that's going to be fun.
Okay, have a wonderful time together, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Meredith.
Maybe everyone else already knew this, but I received a text from Phil Orland's wife that he had passed away.
Oh, no.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, didn't know that.
So I was invited to his celebration of life brunch in November up in LA.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yes. And although I never met Phil in person, I had a lot of conversations with him. And so it just saddened me greatly. He was an amazing person.
He was. Yeah. Absolutely. Mara. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us know. Do you know his wife's name?
Yes. It's, let's see. I think it's Penny.
On the tip of her tongue.
I've never met either one of them in person.
Oh, I met Phil many, many times. I'll tell you what, there's a guy that could come programs on
exactly
top of his head.
He came up with quite a few speakers.
Oh yeah, he was amazing, an amazing person. And being on SCAC, actually, I think gave him a lot of meaning in his life. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Penny.
P-E-N-N-Y?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to that on November 13th. So if we wanted to have a card that we signed on November 4th.
Oh, okay. To take it personally?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get a sympathy card.
I would be happy to do that.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Meredith. Thank you for letting us know. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay, seeing none, I look forward to seeing all of you except Carolyn at our November 4th meeting here in Laguna Niguel. And our next executive board meeting is at 9:30 a.m. via Zoom on Tuesday, November 22nd. And with that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.